The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
And so I just cannot wait to see what happens there, and I am kidding. Book of Proverbs chapter 22, book of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Again, let me reiterate it, if I may, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, the explanation I've used so many years about Dr. Bill Rice giving explanation about that word old, where it talks about state of maturity, and it makes perfect sense to me. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 10, the Bible says, now watch, very noteworthy how the Holy Spirit words this particular verse. The Bible says, for precept must be. Did you see those two words? Must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now the Holy Spirit, of course, is the one that knows best. And when he says it must be, that's not up for discussion. So we're supposed to be able to take those things that are lined out in the Bible, and there's a must, almost like if you're making some type of a cake, perhaps. Maybe it is some things that you must put in there for it to turn out right. All right? And here we see not only must there be some things that we put into our child rearing endeavors, but there is a definite order. That's how come we've divided the lessons up, where we talked about ages 0 through 9 tonight, ages 10 through 12. Why? Because there is some things that you ought to put in your child's life during those particular age brackets, and to put them in there to make sure that you can put those things on top of other things now that you will learn even tonight. In our preserving the Christian home, we have learned several things. Practicing your faith in the home, we spoke on that. Developing a good spirit, changing the heart of a rebel, how we can make our relationships last, teaching your teenager to stand during difficult times, healing marriage conflicts, communicating well, reaping well, investing as a family, adopting biblical values, training, if you will, or child-rearing principles, as I taught last Wednesday night on ages 0 to 9. Now, to rehearse that, last Wednesday night, in dealing with ages 0 through 9, I said to teach immediate obedience. I said, surround them with good books, good music, good examples. I said, associate pain, if you will. Associate wrong with pain and disapproval. Associate work with eating. Make your home a happy home. Point out sin and get them to react. I said, start each day and end each day with prayer and Bible reading. Realize that repetition is the key to learning. Never miss church. Take them soul winning so they can see how the devil treats his own. Put pants on the boys, dresses on the girls. Put masculine clothing on the boys, feminine clothing and jewelry on the girls. Play rough with the boys, play gentle with the girls. Stop all loudness in the home. Never let the TV babysit your children. Now tonight, we're going to talk about a different age bracket tonight. But may I say, between childhood and adulthood, there's a great temptation for your child to sway. There's a great temptation for them to try to make their own way. As he becomes older and as he matures, he'll remember some of the principles that were taught. Now stay with me. Whether those principles be scriptural and good, or whether those principles be unscriptural and bad, he's going to remember, she's going to remember the principles that were taught. We as authority, we ought to make sure that we stay on track in helping our children to go the right direction. Over in the book of Proverbs, we see several principles that is given to us whereby God, I believe, is trying to encourage us to take the right step. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11, let me read it to you if I may, where it says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Now here's what God says, a child is known by his doings. Doings, that's plural. A doing is singular. So God says a child is known by collectively the things they do throughout the day. So if that be true, then what I ought to do is to train my child to do, singular, the right thing. And by training my child to do the right thing, and then training my child to do another right thing, and then training my child to do another right thing, it makes up the doings of a day. My child should know what doings he or she ought to do individually in that day. Well, the Bible also says this over in Proverbs chapter 22. Listen to this as I read in verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it. Now, what is the it? Foolishness. Far, it says, from him. All right? I know that many people say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I don't believe in spanking my children. I'm just going to give them time out. And, of course, they go into the corner and they sit there, and during the time out, they're thanking God that they only get time out. And they're figuring out how to do it better next time so they can get away with it better so they don't have more time out. But the Bible does teach us that spanking is a Bible way. Then in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, the Bible says the rod and reproof. Now, what does that mean, reproof? That means instruction. Don't ever be this way where you spank your child without giving them instruction, because your spanking will be in vain. The Bible says this, and by the way, this is dealing with children, not you spanking your husband. The Bible says the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Oh, I heard this many, many times. Well, you know, my child, they're just being a child. That's okay. You say that long enough, and before you know it, they're not a child any longer, and it's not okay. If you don't teach them how to obey authority now, they're not going to obey the policeman. They're not going to obey their boss. It's better to teach them while they're young so that they can reflect back on it when they become old. That's why the Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. So a child ought to be taught to respect authority. Oh, you say, I'll just let it slide this time. You take a rocket, you point it towards the moon, and it's only 1/16th of an inch off at the time of launching. By the time it reaches the moon, it's going to miss it by miles. You know why? Because launching it, though it was very insignificant to the person that pointed it towards the moon, launching it had a lot to do with where it was going to land, or in that case, miss. So it's very important that we put the right things in the lives of our children. There's three definite age groups in which we have departmentalized child rearing. You may have different ones, and that's fine. We talked about ages 0 to 9, tonight age 10 to 12, part 1, and then in a couple of weeks we'll talk about age 13 to marriage. We said these age groups can be associated with a word or defined with a word, such as age 0 to 9, we train them, age 10 to 12, we retrain them. And age 13 to marriage, we restrain them. Look at ages 10 to 12 tonight. Statement number one, have household rules of do's and don'ts. Have household rules of do's and don'ts. I read this verse to you just a moment ago from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11, the Bible says, even a child is known by his doings. That's things that they do, chores that they fulfill, rules that they are responsible for obeying. So even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. So make the rules very clear. You know, he should know what dad and mom expects of him. He should be well aware. By the way, in a boxing match, there's the referee that explains a few rules before the match is ever started. At basketball games, there's the referee. At the baseball games, there's the umpire. Okay, what are they? They are not just rule setters, they are rule enforcers. All right, so have household rules of do's and don'ts. By the way, even the world measures right and wrong according to how somebody plays or stays within the rules. Statement number two, slow down the child. Slow down the child. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29, he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. What is folly? Folly is foolish actions, all right? And so slow down the child. Right now, age 10 to 12, they're excited and they can't wait to get on the teen bus. But to be honest with you, getting on the teen bus to go soul winning or on an activity is not for them right now. They're not of age to be able to do that. Hold them back so they have something to look forward to, okay? But they're in a hurry. Girls are in a hurry to put on the lipstick and wear the nylons and things of that nature. Slow them down. You as a dad, you as a mom, help them to see there's no rush. Enjoy their childhood years while they are a child. Soon teenage years will come. Oh, after that, guess what? Adulthood comes. Yeah, I have young adults that say this right now. Say, boy, I didn't know adulthood could be so rough. Some of these kids that's come here to Bible college said, I didn't know what it was to have to pay my own bill. Yeah, that's more than brushing your teeth. I'm saying some of our young people call it adulting. Adulting. They say adulting is rough. Well, sure it is, but it's part of growing up. If you don't train how to be a well-balanced adult by learning some things in the proper perspective and at the proper age, you'll not be prepared for adulthood. All right? And so, slow the child down. Don't let the magazines, the social media, the pictures, the movies, the TV shows be the one that indoctrinates the child. You need to be the one that indoctrinates the child. You need to be the one to help the child. What makes true beauty is the hidden man of the heart. Help them to understand that at a young age. They can become infatuated by Hollywood actors, and they think, well, that is a true picture of beauty. Do not judge beauty by Hollywood. Judge beauty by your Bible. I did not get enough amens on that. I said, do not judge beauty by Hollywood. Judge beauty by your Bible. You're supposed to please God. You're not supposed to impress man. You know, this thing about Bible standards gets all I've ever seen. Some person says, well, I tell you what, I'm going to dress this way in front of men because I don't want to be a stumbling block. Do you realize God told you to dress modest for him, not man? Right. Chew on that one a while. You know, we're supposed to please him. Somebody says, well, I'm going to do it as long as I'm at home, and when I get out of home, I'll do whatever I want. Here's what you're showing me. You're showing me that you're mixed up in your heart. You're supposed to do it for God. Everything we're supposed to do to please the Lord has nothing to do with man. Now, because we please the Lord, it does have to do with man because we do lead man the right direction or the wrong direction. It all depends on who you want to please. Well, that went deep and came up shallow. I'm saying this tonight, slow the child down. Statement number next, the child always gravitates to the strongest authority. The child always gravitates towards the strongest authority. By the way, adults are that way too. You put a strong authority in an adult's life and they will gravitate towards that adult. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible says this, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. So man has one sole responsibility. What is that? You are supposed to please Christ. The Bible says, and it says, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. So I guess when it comes right down to it, I'm supposed to get my instructions from the Lord. All right, now watch this. And so if a woman is the strongest authority in the home, many times more than not, they're going to produce or have that which is a part of producing a feminine boy. Children are attracted to authority. Children are attracted to authority. God made them that way. The book of Proverbs is a dad training a son, not a mother training a son. So please understand that if the mother's the strongest in the home, it's out of balance. It always surprises me when I'm trying to counsel someone, you can always tell who the leader is in the home by who talks the most. So dad needs to be the disciplinarian. Mom, I love you, but in the name of the Lord, I'm saying this in a kind fashion, shut up. Don't be somebody that's always bossing. Have a meek, and a quiet spirit. I need bodyguards tonight if you men could help me. There ought to be some fear and trembling when daddy comes home if the child has disobeyed. Oftentimes when our children were teenagers and it came time to discipline them, my dear wife would say, you wait until daddy gets home. And when daddy walked in the door, can I tell you, there was fear and trembling. Many times they would try to get to me before mama got to me to tell me what they had done wrong because they wanted to present it in a lighter fashion. Now, I'm saying this. Have household rules of do's and don'ts. Statement number next, slow down the child. Statement number next, the child always gravitates to the strongest authority. Statement number next, give distinctive duties. Give distinctive duties. Emphasis, distinctive. Give distinctive duties to the boys and to the girls. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27, it is good, it says, for a man that he bear the yoke. That means the full weight thereof. That he bear the yoke in his youth. So boys ought to do things that are boyish. Boys ought to take out the garbage. Amen. Boys ought to do the lawn. Amen. If there comes time to roof the house, put the boy up there. The boy ought to be taught how to change the oil in the car. How to change the tire. How to start it when it won't start. Hello? How to use a hammer correctly. Teach the boy how to hunt. Teach him how to hold a gun. Teach him how to pull the trigger. Teach him how to fish. Yes, I mean bait your own hook. You ever see a boy say, I don't want to touch that? Push him in. Now, I'm saying this. Teach them some masculine things. Go outside and play football with them. You throw them the football, then tackle him. Have fun. Get some boxing gloves and get on your knees and show that boy how to throw a punch and how to receive one. Don't hurt him. You say, I've been wanting to take on my three-year-old. Don't. We're talking about age 10 to 12. Keep it in the age bracket. Statement number next, and think about this. Girls ought to be taught some things too. You know, it would be good for girls to at least know how to make their own bed. Well, I've got a mama. Yeah, and you're wearing her out. Stop. You say, well, she's getting older. You're making her older. Stop. Learn how to make your own bed. By the way, it would not hurt if you make mom and daddy's bed. Say, I'm not coming back Wednesday night. Doesn't matter. I got you now. Now, all right, so make the bed. Sort the laundry. Know whose is what. Wash the dishes. Oh, but we have a dishwasher. Pretend it's broke. We were coming up. We didn't have a dishwasher. We had four. You say, you even made those boys wash it? Not all the time, but from time to time, they need to learn how to do it just in case they don't get married. That'd be terrible. Don't get married. You walk in, you say, what's all those dishes? Well, I don't know what to do with them. Why is your bill so high? Well, I thought you'd just throw them away. And it's China. Okay, Kenny, you're having way too much fun. Okay? Teach the girls how to do the dusting. You say, but they have allergies. Buy them a mask. Buy them goggles. Get them gloves. Buy them long sleeve shirts. If it's real bad, get them boots. But teach them how to do the dusting, okay? Teach them while they're young to be able to work around the house. One day they're going to get married. Teach them how to cook. Teach them how to plan a menu. Teach them how to shop. Teach them how to use coupons. Teach them when to shop. Teach them when to buy things seasonally and not to buy them except during the seasons when those particular items are on sale. Teach them how to help to keep things clean. Oh my, have I been in some houses and you cannot find the floor anywhere. Teach them that cleanliness, help me out, I'm going to see if you know your Bible, that cleanliness is next to, it's not in your Bible, but it's. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that have household rules of do's and don'ts. Slow down the child. Slow down the child. The child always gravitates towards the strongest authority. Give distinctive duties to the boys and to the girls. Statement number next. Now, we're talking about ages 10 to 12. I'm going to keep reminding you of that. Seek advice and opinions from them. Now, I'm not talking about heavy stuff. Where should I invest my 401k? They don't have a clue. You don't want them to have a clue just yet. All right, but teach them some things by seeking their advice and their opinions. Now, why do you do that? Because when you ask them questions, you're seeing their thought patterns. You're finding out who they really are. Now, if you haven't figured it out yet, your children will change. Your children will change. All right? Luke chapter 24 and verse 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass that while they communed together, listen to it now, and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, what were they doing? They were coming together, they were sitting down, and they were reasoning. One of the best ways to train your children to be solid in their biblical values is during this age period where you ask them questions, ask their opinions, and reason with them There has to come a time in your life when you learn to reason with your child instead of just ruling them by rules. They need to know why the hope that lieth in them is true. You ask a child, why do you believe that? Mom and daddy believes that. Why do they believe that? Preacher believes that. Why does preacher believe that? Because the church made him believe that. Hello. Why can't it be, thus saith the Lord? Why do you believe that? Well, here's what the Bible teaches. Why do you believe that? Because this is what God said. Why do you practice that? Because this is what would please God. If your children, you listen to me well, I'm not just talking about dress standards, I'm talking about standards of life. If your children have standards of life just because you have standards of life and they've not connected it to this is why I have standards of life, because I love God, I want to please God, and the way to please God is by obeying the Bible, then you're not doing such a hot job as parenting. Train your children in the Word of God. I ought to be able to call any teenager in my office tomorrow and say, now, here is a topic. Tell me why and what you believe about it. And they should be able to give me Bible verses as to what and why they believe it without any hesitation. You say, well, that's the church's responsibility. Isn't it funny how people do that? You know, isn't it funny? When your kid does wrong, it's the church's responsibility. When your child does right, you take all the glory. Why not take the responsibility for being the parent that you're supposed to be? The Bible says to prove all things. Kid comes up and says, what's wrong with this? Show me from the Bible what's right with it. Stop this thing about what's wrong with it. Show me in the Bible why you do what you do. And unless you can prove it from the Bible, then you probably should not be doing it. All right? We see this, that we ought to seek advice and opinions from them. Even Jesus reasoned with the disciples. As long as you reason and you bring Christ along in the conversation, you can guide them to the right decision. But if you do not bring Christ along in the conversation... Well, I had a conversation with a preacher this past week, and he said, man, he said, this is dropping. I said, I got a question for you. Are you pointing them to you, or are you pointing them to the Lord? Are you pointing them to you, or are you pointing them to Scripture? If you're pointing them to Scripture, Scripture doesn't change. You can't shake the Scriptures. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? So ask their advice, their opinions concerning different decisions in life, then use that to help to guide them. Statement number next, here we go. Parents never nag or scream at each other. Amen. Don't nag and scream at each other in front of the kids. Here's what you're doing. Every time you do that, you are taking yourself down a level whereby they don't look as far up to you as what they should. You're simply cutting each other down, 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 and eventually they have nobody to look up to. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 17, the words of a wise man are heard, it says, in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. What's it talking about? It's talking about a quiet man. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, let the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corrupt, even, it says, the ordinate and meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. Here it is, it says, of great price. So God says this, he said, when you're meek and you behave yourself such, even under pressure, he said, well, I tell you what, he said, that's a great price that God puts on that, says that's good. Okay, so kids, don't get your parents to a place where you cause them to nag and scream. Don't pit daddy against mama to try and get your way that causes their emotional flare-ups of disagreement. You ought to be the one that causes harmony in the home, not disharmony in the home. Kids, you take care of the problems. Take care of the problems. Don't always be arguing with your siblings so that mom and dad has to come in and settle it. If you're a teenager, you should have outgrown that by now, by maturity. You're a teenager now. You're heading towards adulthood. Well, you come yelling at mom. Well, you know, so-and-so, they, you know, she put my shoe on. Don't. Why are you trying to do that? Why are you trying to get mom upset? She's old. Take care of her. Just seeing if you're awake, that's all. Statement number next. Okay, teach them the responsibility of planning and handling money. Teach them the responsibility. You say, preacher, they're only 10, 11, and 12 years of age. Good time to teach them. Teach them the responsibility of planning and handling money. Okay, Psalm 112 and verse 3, the Bible says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Teach them. Teach them that they're supposed to tithe and give offerings. When I taught on finances here, the best way to teach your children is use the envelope system. The envelope system. Have a place where they put the tithe every week in the envelope. Put an offering every week in the envelope. Then they have a miscellaneous that they'll put in an envelope. All right, but teach them what belongs to God. Teach them now. If you want God to bless them in old age, yes, even in young age, don't teach them to steal from God, to rob God. Drop the boys off at a barber shop. Give them money. Now, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. If you're going to drop them off at a barber shop, you be sure to maybe go in to begin with and explain to the barber how to cut their hair, because if not, they're going to come out looking like they're going to have a mohawk, looking like an Indian that can't find his tribe. You're going to have to go in and tell them. You're going to have to go in and tell them. They're going to look like the Shaggy Dog. You ever see these? It started with a rock group. You ever see these kids that they grow their hair long and it sags down to one side? And I saw a girl this past week. She had it shaved over here and sagging down here. Not all the way down, but sagging down. Where'd that come from? Came from a rock and roll group. Yes, teach them what worldly styles are, where they originated from, and how to get a decent haircut. Okay, now I'm saying this. I'm saying drop them off, give them some money, and say, look, it's your responsibility to pay. Teach them how to tip the barber and things of that nature. Okay, take the girl shopping. Let them prepare the meal list. Let them prepare it. Okay, let them go ahead and shop for those things. We're talking about helping them to know money. Statement number next, let them start choosing what clothes to wear. Lay them out. Here's what you can do. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 25. Now watch this. Bible is so neat when you study it word for word. It says strength and honor. Now watch what it does say here. It says are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. It doesn't say that, watch this, that it's in her clothing. It says are her clothing. All right? So a person is who they dress like. It is their clothing. It is themselves. It's not what they're putting themselves in. It identifies them. So clothing, by the way, if you study it in the Bible, clothing always identified the character of the person. Again, we're supposed to use clothing to glorify God. When I see girls, and by the way, do your Bible study, and you'll find out more of this than some man having to tell you somewhere, but over in Isaiah chapter 47, verses 1 through 3, study that out. And the Bible teaches here about when a girl uncovers her thigh and makes bare the leg. You see girls that, here's what they say, well, I'm going to cover my thigh, and if I cover my thigh, then I'm covering my nakedness. But it also says make bare the leg. I worry about girls that have skirts that's always getting shorter and shorter and shorter. I'm asking myself, whose attention are they trying to get? It can't be the Lord's. Because if it was the Lord's, they would want to please him more, not less. It blows my mind how we're so concerned about what man thinks when we ought to be more concerned about what God thinks. All right? So clothing, two things about it. It shows who you're pleasing. It shows your strength. You see that contextually as you study your Bible. It sees who you're honoring. It also sees who you're representing. All right? A Marine, if you would please, when he reports to duty, he has on the uniform that is conducive to his calling. So ought to be the Christian. Statement number next. Never allow a smart mouth. Never allow a smart mouth. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, there is he that speaketh like piercings, it says, of a sword. The tongue of the wise is health. Never allow a smart mouth. You must stop the smart mouth now, immediately. Okay? If they don't respect you, again, you're training them, then they will not respect their boss. They'll smart off to somebody else. Statement number next. Take them soul winning. Take them soul winning. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever command you, though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So work together as a family serving God. You know, if the average kid in America spends 7.5 hours a day watching television, watching the nude scenes, hearing the curse words, watching the queers, and all that, and then you begin to wonder, why are they not thinking right? What you allow to go in is what is going to eventually affect them, possibly influence them, and will come out. So let them see the real world by taking them soul winning. You know what soul winning does? Soul winning shows them the end result of sin without having to taste it. I said the other day, I think I was preaching here on Sunday night. I said, when you take them soul winning, here's the thing. You can say, don't you thank God Daddy's saved? See what drugs does? Don't you thank God Daddy's saved? Don't you thank God Daddy's saved? He's not drinking liquor, beating up on mama. Aren't you glad? All right, soul winning shows them the end result without having to taste it. Statement number last, and that is this. Train them to serve the Lord and others. I like it when daddies do this. I think you're very smart. I like it when daddies do this. All of a sudden when we say there's chairs to be moved in the gym, and you're not one of these daddies that says, hey, come on, let's go ahead and go. And you're teaching them how to avoid and to evade work. I like it when daddies say, hey, let's go. Let's go. Let's go do that. I like it when mamas do that. When all of a sudden we have a fellowship and say, hey, ladies, can you help kind of clean up and wipe off the tables? I think you're a wise mama when you say, come on, daughter, let's go over here and help do this. You're training them to work for God. You're training them to do something that is voluntarily without pay. If you train them to do something voluntarily without pay, one day they would do a better job when it comes to pay. But if the only time that they do something is when it's for their profit, you are training a lazy young person. Right. Teach them to be a servant. Amen. Teach them to serve. You say, hey, son, go out there and clean out the garage. And the son says, well, what do I get out of it? Well, let me see. First off, you get to live. Second off, you get to eat. Amen. Third off, I'll let you back in the house tonight and you sleep. Any other questions? No, sir, I'm on it. Now, you're not really going to take the kid out. I mean, you're not going to hurt the kid. I know that. But, and by the way, you shouldn't. But I will tell you this. You ought to help the child see the importance of work. Oh, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. But I'm going to say it now because we got to warm up for those teenage years. I'm going to be teaching on in 2 weeks where your teenager is going to say, let's not go to church tonight. But train your child, yeah, even at this age, the responsibility of mowing the lawn. Amen. Taking good care of it. Train them to do things like that along with that other order I gave you. Teach them to work. One of the best things that ever happened to me was when I was raised on that farm, and Paul would get us up at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was time to go out with a flashlight and collect the eggs. Then we had to go do the barn work, and we worked in the barn until it was breakfast time. We worked before breakfast, and we really didn't care what our hair looked like at that time. Then we would come back in smelling like the barn. And before we could have breakfast, we had to go get a shower. Why? Because Ma did not want us smelling like the barn at the table. Hello? You know, it is good for a young man to wear the yoke in his youth. Now, as they get older, they'll be more thankful for that. They will. By the way, as they get older, that wife that's going to marry that boy of yours, she's going to be very thankful that you didn't raise a lazy rascal. She's going to be thankful that he knows how to get up in the morning and go out and work and bring home bread for the table. You boys, now I love you in the name of the Lord. You know I do, right? But you spend more time playing your stupid games than you do building character. Why don't you get some books and learn how to balance the budget? Why don't you get some books and learn some things about accounting? Get out there and work. Contact Brother Flores and say, hey, look, can I help climb a tree and cut it down? What's he going to say, preacher? No. But he'll let you carry the branches, the tree trunks. You see, I live in an apartment, and we don't have grass for a kid to mow. Get him up here, part of the lawn crew. We'll teach him how to push a mower. We'll teach him how to trim a hedge. Brother Butler makes sure that they don't trim their head off. He'll watch over them. All right, now I'm saying this. There's some things we ought to put in our children's lives at ages 10 to 12 that would make a marvelous difference as they grow older in understanding and accepting responsibility. Now, Father, help us, I pray. Help us to do our part.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.